Yes, I'm glad that he's able. This is Richard Smallwood and Singers, and he's able. No matter how hard your problems is today, surely God is able. That's a high note there. You're listening to Globe FM 107.7. This is the Gospel Reflection. It's 8:48. Did you hear that one? If you need a lawyer, he has never lost a case. Yeah, that's a good one. you. This is the Clark Sisters. And they're singing live here. Yeah, let's give God some praise. We're going to dance. And I'm dancing. Mm. Oh, yes. Yes, I could picture myself going crazy in church. Oh. Well, this one is going out to my fiancé, Paul in Cameroon. Tremaine Hawkins. and look at me.
Song by the Wynan family. I'm going to read to you the second portion of scripture for this morning. I'm reading from Joel chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in the holy mountains. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thickness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoured before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolation, a wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape. They shall run to and fro the city. They shall run upon the walls. They shall run upon the walls. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter into windows like thieves. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide in it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering? Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep before the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore shall they say among the people, where is thy God? And the flower shall fall, and we shall have plenty. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I send among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none escape, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see vision. And upon thy servant and upon thine handmaiden in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord cometh. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, and the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
The part is done, the guests are going home. Your friends, they tell you they can't stay, they've just got to be moving on. So you sit alone in an empty room. Then when you drop your mask away, you come face to face with the truth. Temporary love won't do. So if you're searching for love,
soon. Vanessa Bell Armstrong and 39 Stone. Globe FM 107.7, The Gospel Reflection.
salvation is now in you. Seems the world has forgotten all about you. Children are crying and people are dying. The lost without you, so lost without you. But you said if we seek, Lord, if we seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, you promised to heal.
Receive a blessing week after week as you listen to Gospel Reflection. And you can bless us too by writing to us and telling us of the blessing you have received. We too can be blessed. Or there might be a bereavement in your family. You might feel low, dispirited. You might need spiritual help. We are here to help you. We want to bless you. It might even be necessary for us to write you a letter of spiritual strength and give you all the encouragement you need. Write to us and let us know. Please write to Gospel Reflection, Globe FM, in care of 117-119A, Radford Road, Nottingham. I want to share with you this morning this first Sunday of 1993, a passage from the book of Micah, chapter 6 and the 8th verse. In the book of Micah, God gave some of the most directive commands and made some of the most informative statement. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. If you were to look at one of the revised version, like the Life Application Bible, this is what we will read. He hath told you what he wants, and this is all it is, to be fair and just and merciful and to walk humbly with thy God. He has showed thee, O man. Who is that he? He, the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, he have showed thee what is good. God never leave man without guidance or direction. If our society is so corrupt and is making so many blunders despite of a holy God always around to guide us, can you imagine what this earth and its inhabitants will be like if there was no God to direct and to lead? I tell you, this earth will be total corruption and confusion regime. If we think that we are in a mess now, you just imagine what it would mean if all we had on this earth were ungodliness and unrighteousness abounding. We need God to lead and to guide us, or else we are going to go astray. One of our hymn writers once wrote, Savior, lead me lest I stray. Gently lead me all the way. I am safe when by thy side I would in thy love abide. Lead me. Lead me, Savior, lead me, lest I stray. Gently down the streams of time. Lead me, Savior, all the way. All ways are very simple and foolish. It is very much unlike the ways of our Creator. The Bible tells us that the ways we think is different to the way God thinks. Jeremiah chapter 55 and verse 9 said, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. For us to succeed spiritually, we need God to lead us like a shepherd. Doughty A. Truff once wrote, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sinning. Defend us. Seek us when we go astray. It is vital, it is imperative for God to lovingly and caringly lead us, guide us, and teach us. Hence we read in the scriptural text for this first Sunday of 1993, He has showed thee, O man, what is good. Quite often, the things which we value and adore and cling to are the very thing God Almighty rejects and detests. God knows that we are very foolish in our choice, and all those who have a desire in their heart to walk with God and are uncertain which step to take and which choice to make. Note what God is saying in this 8th verse of Micah chapter 6. We need God's direction. And when he directs us, we must follow, comply, and adhere to what he commands. The Bible says in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. As Israel were left without excuse, so are you. God has not left you unguided and ill-informed. He has told you what to do if you want to get right with him. There are five words which masterminded George Bush in the last U.S. presidential election. And these were they. It's time for a change. It's time for a change. If you have been traveling away from God, permit me to herald these very said words. It's time for a change. If your life and in your life, it's time for you to alter your direction. It's time you begin to draw near to God. The Bible says in James 4 and 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. The book of Micah begins in gloom and ends in hope. Micah watched helplessly as society rotted around him. Rulers demanded gifts. Judges accepted bribes. Corruption was the universal acceptance. Michael could not find an honest person anywhere in the land. Even today, real honesty is difficult to find. Society rationalizes in sin. And even Christians sometimes compromise Christian principle in order to do what they want. It's time for a change. It is easy to convince ourselves that we deserve a few breaks, especially when everyone else is doing it. But there is one thing that we must remember and never forget, and it is this. The standard and honesty comes from God and not from society. We are to be honest because God is honest. And we are to be like him. When we come to God, one must come upon God's condition and not upon man's condition. Man has a standard of righteousness, but it falls well below that which the Lord requires of him. Jesus confronted and encountered many religious leaders, leaders of every kind, just as we are having them today. And yet, and just as our Lord Jesus experienced, we are experiencing the same, a society deteriorating and becoming more corrupt. Every day, we are finding a society and a generation whose heart is failing with the very opposite to what our Creator is demanding from all those who are ready for a change. When Jesus met those religious leaders, all of different sects, he had a close observation of the kind of righteousness that they were portraying. There were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, and many others. They all had one thing in common, and it was this. They were all portraying a standard of righteousness. But it was totally unacceptable to God. Jesus was candid and unreserved in his dealing with them. And he warned those who were looking at those leaders as the true pattern that they should follow. That those standards which they saw in those leaders, they were not to follow or take them as a true example for their lives. In the Bible of St. Matthew 5 and 20, Jesus warned his audience and told them that the scribes and Pharisees had a standard of righteousness, but it was totally unacceptable. And Jesus told his listeners, accept their righteousness, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. They could not enter into the kingdom of God. There are so many religious, so many religions, so many churches, so many sects, and yet our society is subsiding and deteriorating so swiftly. What our society needs is not religion, but change heart and change lives. And this change, bless God, can only come about by a yielding and a surrendering to Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Just know, therefore, if any man yield and surrender to Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new person. He is a new individual, because his old ways of living and lifestyle has turned away from him. And because of his new life, he is a brand new man. And indeed he is. People have tried all kind of ways to please God. And yet God has made his wishes clear. He wants our society to be fair, to be just, to be merciful, and to walk humbly with him. Our effort to please God, we must examine these areas on a regular basis. It is very important to note that the command and the call from God to regain his favor and blessing is set out very explicitly in the 8th verse of Micah 6. Firstly, those in authority must be just. They must act justly in their handling and their dealing with those that they are responsible for directing. There is a cry coming straight from the heart of God for people whose heart would be dominated and overwhelmed with the fear of God. Uncorrupt, fear-minded, people who are always open to reason. In the 3rd verse of this very chapter, God proved himself to be such a just and an uncorrupt God that he offered himself for the nation and open himself to criticism and to scrutiny. He says, come check on my life. In these 3 verses, he appeared to the nation in the most passionate voice. He said, oh my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. If I may just simplify this statement in the application Bible, we will read, oh my people, what have I done that makes you turn away from me? Tell me why your patience is exhausted. Answer me. In other words, God is saying, if I have done you anything, expose me. Tell the whole world. Let them know that I might put it right. But don't continue to reject me without a cause. Not many of our leaders have that kind of integrity and can live up to this challenge. And yet, if we are ambassadors and if we are going to be representative of Christ, we should be. Yet God wants every leader, every member of the human race, whether we live in palaces, whether we held great and high offices in government, whether we be church leaders, we must do justly, Our society is not going to come out of the mess and the rot it is in until we have uncorrupt leaders who possesses the fear of God in their heart. All we are encountering and confronting is corruption, injustice, partiality. Where is the fear of God? Where is it? God long and yearned and a hunger for a generation to return to him and fear him. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29, God himself appeared to the nation of Israel. God said, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandment always, that it might be well within them and with their children forever. It would seem that family values, prestige, family influence, and importance don't seem to be our priority anymore. Are we surprised of the increase in juvenile delinquency? Are we surprised at the increase in lawlessness and total breakdown in society? The nation cannot do justly until it returns to God. But we can't return to God unless we are willing to put away from us the things that God hates. The corruption which is in our heart, the corruption which is eating out the very heart of our society like a canker worm. The nation is spiritually sick and need to call in the great physician to remove the abomination from our hearts. In Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 1, God told the people who were feeling the agony and the awful penalty for rejecting him, if you will return, O Israel, return unto me, and if you will put away the abomination out of my sight, then shalt thou not be removed. I believe that there are many who's listening to this gospel reflection, whose heart is touched and blessed. I believe that there are many who's ready for a closer walk and a closer relationship with God. I want you to bow your heads in reverence to God right now, because I'm going to pray for you that God will help you to make up your mind and to follow him this first Sunday of 1993. Heavenly Father, we have sinned, and we do not deserve your open arms to receive us. But Lord, we thank you for your love and for your mercy. Please to receive us just as we are, and give us peace of mind and the joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.